This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Arkansas executions. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Kashchenka on this Tuesday, April 25th. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Two killers were given lethal injections last night. The double executions were the first for any state since 2000.
A shift by the White House means Congress has an easier path to get a spending plan in place by a Friday deadline.
President Trump wants a tax plan that would cut the corporate rate to 15%, but there are concerns about the impact on the debt and deficits.
And the government seems to make college loans to any parent without bothering to check on their ability to pay the money back.
Well, there's about 3 million or so parents who took out loans from the federal government, and they now owe those loans. And basically, these are loans that they borrowed so that they could help their children pay for tuition and living expenses while they're in college. And they owe a combined $77.5 billion.
Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell on easy lending, tough collecting. He's here in about 25 minutes. Arkansas executed a pair of convicted killers last night. Marcel Williams was on death row for the 1994 rape and killing of 22-year-old Stacy Erickson, whom he kidnapped from a gas station. Authorities said he abducted and raped two other women in the days before he was arrested in Ms. Erickson's death. Also getting the needle last night, Jack Jones, sentenced to die for the 1995 rape and killing of Mary Phillips. He strangled her with the cord to a coffee pot. He was also convicted of attempting to kill the woman's 11-year-old daughter, Lacey Phillips Seals, who was present last night.
I'm glad it's done. I'm glad that that part of my life is, that chapter is closed.
Mr. Jones was also convicted in another rape and killing in Florida. Arkansas, by the way, became the first state in 17 years to carry out two death sentences in one day. Nine people have now been executed in the U.S. this year, four in Texas, three in Arkansas, and one each in Missouri and Virginia. Last year, 20 were put to death, the lowest number since 14 back in 1991. Something seen as an obstacle to a budget agreement has been removed for now from negotiations. President Trump says he's open to waiting until the fall to secure funding for a border wall, a shift in demands that could clear the way for Congress to avoid a government shutdown Friday night. The president addressed the issue at a reception with conservative media at the White House last night. His new flexibility means lawmakers may be able to come to an agreement on the spending bill relatively quickly this week. Earlier in the day, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer was not confident of an agreement.
We have said from the get-go that the wall will blow up the negotiations. I'm not the only one who says it. Many Republicans have said the same thing. Not a single Republican who's on the border supports the border wall, Senate or House.
Both Democrats and Republicans had already signaled they were willing to increase money for the military and for broader border security. One issue, by the way, that remains unresolved is whether the spending bill will include Democrats' request for payments to health insurers known as cost-sharing reductions. Well, what would you say is the biggest threat to the U.S. economy over the next 6 months? A new survey by Bankrate.com found that a plurality of respondents pointed to the political climate in Washington. 38% chose that option. Analysis now from Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Mark, put this in perspective.
So we asked a similar question in September of last year, obviously heading into the election, and 61% of Americans said that politics was the major worry or the biggest threat to the economy, and overseas economies less so that time around. So to some degree, you could say the concern about Washington is less significant right now, but I'd still argue it is significant. But people are also looking abroad, I would think also with regard to developments in places like North Korea, Russia, Europe, all of those being having trouble spots in one form or the other.
All right, so how about here in Washington? The concerns would be what? The Congress can't get something done significant on tax reform or health insurance, something like that?
I think it could be all of the above, and we think about the fact that politics is tribal these days, Gordon, so either you're for something or against something. It seems like there's very little in the middle, and that's one of the problems of governing in this country these days, that the two sides really can't get along very well, and we see that in the Congress as another government shutdown looms. But we know on the policy front, the president came to office essentially making a number of promises, and among them was repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act. We know how that went. In other words, it didn't. And of course, they're saying they can still work on it. But, you know, those differences just within the Republican Party alone haven't gone away. So the next big priority is tax reform. And the president needs that to achieve what he has said would be a much higher level of economic growth. Most economists don't believe that it would be anywhere near what the president has said with 5% GDP. And finally, infrastructure funding. We know roads and bridges and highways in this country need a lot of work, and the president has said that he'd like to have $1 trillion-plus package, so we'll see whether Congress can move that along.
We're speaking with Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. They've got a new survey that finds politics is the number one threat to the economy, at least according to people's concerns. One of the points in the research here says millennials are more likely than older adults to point to political or economic instability overseas. Explain that.
Well, that's exactly what it was. And, you can try to piece together how this could be the case. And I know, for example, I have a 25-year-old son who happens to be well-educated and is a person who looks at the world, I think, on a daily basis with some concern. Of course, also younger people are experiencing this kind of turbulence for the first time in their lives, where some of us who are a little older can remember when the Berlin Wall fell, the disintegration of the Soviet Union, even the Cuban Missile Crisis. So if you're a young person and you're seeing, dynamic political developments abroad, it's understandable how they can be concerned. So how that might affect their financial well-being, perhaps they're concerned about the plight of the EU, which, of course, we have an election outcome that just occurred in France with the runoff and another election still to go there. And, of course, Great Britain working through its own issues along those lines as well.
What are some of the other threats that people cited besides politics to the economy?
Well, the concern about a stock market decline was consistent with our survey in September. A little less than 10% worried about that as the biggest threat to the U.S. economy. But there was double the concern about rising interest rates, Gordon, 10% of Americans citing that. And I think, since we asked the question last fall, the Fed has raised interest rates twice. But as you know, we've also seen the bond market sort of give up the pro-Trump trade that occurred after the election, meaning that interest rates in the bond market have come back down. And so our bank rate data shows that mortgage interest rates are actually the lowest of the year here recently. So the interest rate outlook is a bit of a mixed bag.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. It's 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Glad you're with us. President Trump is calling the 100-day mark of his presidency an artificial marker, but the final days are expected to see a flurry of activity from the White House. Fox News says expect a burst of executive orders and lofty legislative goals covering things like health care and tax reform. Before his 100th day on Saturday, Fox says Mr. Trump plans to sign at least 4 executive orders, including one aimed at easing regulations on offshore oil and gas exploration, and another to protect whistleblowers at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Another would direct the Interior Department to review national monument designations. Here's White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer.
I think you can go back and find an area one or two and say, okay, well, he didn't do this. But I think you have to look at it in totality of what he actually did get done.
This would put the first 100 days executive order tally, by the way, at over three dozen, the most of any modern presidency. Fox says the president's 100 days report card, though, is still missing a major legislative achievement. But watch for progress toward tax reform when he lays out a blueprint for that proposal tomorrow. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Word of President Trump appears to be stepping back from demanding a down payment for his border wall, which could remove a major obstacle to a bipartisan deal on must-pass spending legislation just days ahead of a government shutdown deadline. Trump told a gathering of conservative media reporters last evening that he would be willing to return to the funding issue in September. The border wall money is fiercely opposed by Democrats, including New York Senator Chuck Schumer.
Our negotiations have been going great. And if the president wouldn't throw this monkey wrench called a border wall into it, we'd come to an agreement by Friday and the government would be funded.
The wall's also unpopular with many Republicans, and GOP negotiators on Capitol Hill were uneasy about the clash over the wall potentially sparking a government shutdown. South Korea's military says North Korea held major live fire drills as it marked the anniversary of the founding of its military. The exercise took place as a U.S. guided missile submarine arrived in South Korea, and envoys from the U.S., Japan, and South Korea met in Tokyo to discuss the growing threat posed by North Korea's nuclear weapons and missile program. Rushing to execute several inmates before a lethal drug expires next week, Arkansas put to death two inmates last night, the first double execution in the U.S. in 17 years. Jack Jones and Marcel Williams, both sentenced to death in the 90s, were executed by lethal injection after higher courts rejected their final legal appeals. Authorities say an Israeli teen's bomb threats to Jewish community centers was part of a much larger terror campaign that targeted airports, planes, schools, shopping malls, police stations, a Delaware lawmaker, and even the Boston Celtics. The 18-year-old suspect, who has been in custody in Israel since his March 23rd arrest, has been indicted for alleged threats, hoaxes, extortion attempts against more than 2,000 institutions and people over a two-year period. Well, if you're over 50, doing moderate exercise several times a week is the best way to keep your mind sharp. A review of several dozen studies has found that thinking and memory skills were most improved when people exercise the heart and muscles on a regular basis.
Get on that. We don't know anybody over 50, but...
No, if you... You could pass that along to
them.
Yeah,
if we encounter some of those folks, we'll certainly mention that. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Well, spring is here, which means some people are gearing up to make what could be the largest purchase of their lifetime, a home. But before you take the jump, here's some things that others have said they regretted after making their purchase, based on surveys and discussions with industry experts. More from Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at The Washington Post. Janelle, what are some folks admitting?
One thing that was a little bit surprising to me was that a lot of people felt that they did not know enough about the house and the location. So, you know, especially in a market like I'm in Washington, D.C., if you're in a kind of a tight housing market where you feel like you have to move very fast, it's becoming common, or some people are going ahead and just saying, oh, I'll waive the need for an inspection. You know, you're so desperate to get the house that you think you want that, you know, if you're waiving things like the inspection or you're not doing enough research, you might have a nasty surprise after you move in. You could face really expensive repair costs, or you might not know that the house had been burned down in the past, or that there was a crime committed there. So you just want to take a few minutes to make a list of the things that are really important to you, that you want to make sure you find out about the house and ask about those things and look them up before you make the decision.
I was surprised by the number one regret on the list, which was not buying a bigger house.
Yeah, so both Trulia and NerdWallet, when they asked homebuyers about what did they regret, the number one problem was people said they wished they had bought a bigger house. Now, part of this could be, you know, the human condition. Once the shininess wears off, you might be like, what else can I get? But another thing to remember is that you might be so focused on a specific neighborhood, and this was a tip from a realtor, and she said, branch out. Maybe you can look in other locations that can have where you can find a better deal that for a house that has everything you really want in it, like has the backyard, has the number of rooms that you need, and maybe it's not exactly where you thought it would be, but if it's an up-and-coming place, you know, it could become the neighborhood that you are looking for. Basically, just don't pigeonhole yourself, and again, make sure that the house has everything you're looking for.
We're speaking with Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at the Washington Post, about her piece called The Biggest Regrets People Have After Buying a Home. How about on the financial front?
So especially for a first-time home buyer, you might not really understand the ins and outs of a mortgage. So about 41% of homeowners said that they were not aware of all of their loan options, according to NerdWallet. And that was a survey released earlier this year. So what that shows is that people might not understand the costs or the fees associated, or maybe even understanding, you know, all of the different kinds of loans. Like there are those that are backed by the Federal Housing Administration, or if you're a veteran, there's other loans that you might have access to. So you just want to take a moment, maybe talk to a professional, and get a sense for what exactly are your options. How long does this take? And what are the costs, like closing costs, that you should be saving for?
Thanks, Janelle. Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at The Washington Post. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Tuesday, April 25, Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: double execution in Arkansas last night. Trump says border wall funding can wait till the fall. The president wants a tax plan that would cut the corporate rate to 15%. Bacterial infection sidelines Elton John in Vegas. Bill O'Reilly promises in a podcast that the truth will come out about sexual harassment allegations against him. 12-year-old boy drove an SUV by himself in Australia for about 800 miles. Google's self-driving cars will be giving rides in Phoenix. A 12-year-old girl will fight a 24-year-old woman in a Japanese MMA event. And Adrian Peterson to sign with the Saints. Millions of U.S. parents have taken out loans from the government to help their children pay for college. Time to pay up. Problem is, many aren't, even though some have delayed retirement, put off health expenses, and lost portions of Social Security checks and tax refunds to their lender, the federal government. Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell says student loans made through parents come from an Education Department program called Parent Plus, which has outstanding loans to more than 3 million Americans, nearly 40% of whom have credit scores below 620, the threshold for subprime borrowers. Josh, what have you found?
Well, there's about 3 million or so parents who took out loans from the federal government, and they now owe those loans. And basically, these are loans that they borrowed so that they could help their children pay for tuition and living expenses while they're in college. And they owe a combined $77.5 billion. You know, and there's a lot of parents who, you know, owe maybe $20,000 or $30,000. There's no limit on how much these parents can borrow. And so one of the problems is that the government doesn't really do much of a credit check when these parents take out the loans. So there have been many cases where, you know, parents either didn't have a job, or they had a very low-income job, or they had no savings whatsoever, and they end up taking out, you know, $20,000 or $30,000. And there really isn't, you know, hope of them repaying this loan back in full, but they're kind of stuck with the debt because there's no real option to file for bankruptcy or to get rid of this debt. So it's become kind of a form of a subprime lending program.
Jeez. You know, not for nothing, but the government's been lending money for college for a long time. And you say, you know, still the government asks almost nothing about its borrowers' incomes. Why?
So, yeah, this program has been around since 1980, and the student lending programs overall have been around for longer than that. And but these programs really took off in the past 15 years or so. You just had more people going to college. And obviously during the last recession, when the labor market was very weak, we had this historic boom in college enrollment. So even though these programs have been around for a while, there's just been more and more people who turn to them. And, you know, one of the reasons why is because a lot of people just don't have money saved up, or maybe they lost their homes in the recession and they, you know, went through foreclosure and they just don't have any other means to pay for college. And obviously college prices have risen very sharply. So the idea behind giving parents and undergraduates the ability to borrow, you know, these huge amounts to go to college is that the government wants to provide access to college.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal staff reporter Josh Mitchell. He's written a piece called "The U.S. Makes It Easy for Parents to Get College Loans. Repaying them is another story." Boy, you know, the government obviously played some role in the collapse of the housing market, and now we're talking about big problems in student loans. I mean, any chance that they might close the spigot at all?
It's interesting that you ask that because, Republicans in Congress, there are some Republicans who said we need to look at this program as part of a broader look at student loan programs. Should we rein in these programs and sort of shift some of this lending to the private market? There's a lot of resistance to that. And I must say, by the way, the Trump administration, the Education Department under the Trump administration said that they're doing their own look at these programs in terms of what they want to propose for changes in Congress. You know, there's going to be a lot of resistance from schools who say, look, if you deny the option for parents to borrow to cover some of these expenses, we're going to have to turn away a lot of students because we can't lower our tuition that much, or else we're going to have to make cuts. And the educational experience is going to be harmed. So there's a lot of pushback whenever there's talk about reining in these programs.
How about that? Josh Mitchell, Wall Street Journal reporter based in Washington. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, when you think of beautiful architecture, you probably don't think of emoji, but that could change thanks to a young architect. He designed a building in the Netherlands that features 22 concrete-casted emoji as decorative flair. The idea resulted from his thoughts about what could be included in a building that would mark it as from the 21st century. According to The Verge, the emoji will appear only on one side of the multi-use building. It will feature ground floor shops with apartments on top and is located in a square that also features a library and a school. Now, you might be asking yourself, what happens when the emoji fad goes away and you're left with a building covered in relics from a bygone era? Well, that's fine, says the architect, adding, quote, Facebook used to be cool, and now it's just for older people.
Ouch.
Yeah, so maybe we won't use emoji in 10 years. That's fine. It's still from our time.
A brief time of 3 years.
Yes, yes. that Facebook part hurt, though, didn't it? Just a little bit? Because that's something we've heard about, obviously. We know the young people aren't on Facebook anymore. Yeah. We know they're on Snapchat. We get that. But it's something that, you know, kind of sticks. You just don't want to hear somebody say it out loud, you know?
The young people still kind of want to be on Facebook a little bit.
Do they?
They do. But they're not old enough, for one. Not that they don't cheat to
right, lie right,
about
right,
their
right.
age. But
yeah.
Some of them do.
Yeah.
They just don't want to be stalked by... you know, old people.
Right. So. Right. They don't want their mom friending them on Facebook,
yeah.
basically.
That's basically
which is what happens, and that's why then they immediately leave and go to Snapchat.
That's right. And as do some of the parents,
yeah,
to be
right.
clear. There's
right.
one in my house. Not me. My wife is on Snapchat.
There you go. And at this time yesterday, Gordon, you and I were chatting about the increase in gator-related stories we've seen recently, with alligators seemingly finding their way into all walks of human life. And in yesterday's case, pressing a brand-new police officer into gator wrangling duty on her first day on the job. Now the gators are turning on each other, as evidenced by video that surfaced yesterday of two of the giant reptiles squaring off against each other at a North Carolina golf course.
Ooh.
The battle was captured on the 18th hole of the Panthers Run course, with one of the animals, a 12-footer, trying to essentially bite the head off of an 8-footer. The two wrestled for several minutes and inflicted some pretty serious damage on each other before giving up and swimming off, presumably to fight another day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, though, if this had happened, like, during some national television coverage of
right.
a golf event? like the Heritage in, you know, Hilton Head, South Carolina, or something like that, which is usually a week after the Masters.
Now I don't know this.
Here's Gavin on hole three. Oh my goodness! A fight has broken out in the water hole between two apex predators.
Right, and then they focus on that, and they don't even pay attention to what's going on. Oh, and by the way, he just put it 5 feet from the tee, but over 5 feet from the hole. But they won't even pay attention to that. They'll just be watching the fight with the two gators.
That is something. Thank you, Mike. 14 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work. Wherever work takes them, Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Time for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Dell. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors can help you upgrade to powerful new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. A couple of trends any small business retailer targeting millennials needs to be aware of from smallbiztrends.com. One of them, the Snapchat effect. They expect your store to feed them new stimuli all the time, and you can. Try adding a pop-up store for a limited time. Change the look of your store by adding new signage. Another one, local love. Millennials prefer to support local, independent businesses, not global chains. How can you do it? Get involved in, say, community organizations and other events. And finally, frictionless purchasing. Millennials expect the shopping experience to be seamless. Things you can do at your business? Use tablets and smartphones to accept payments anywhere in the store. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
President Trump has ordered White House aides to draft a tax plan that slashes the corporate tax rate to 15%, even if that means a loss of revenue. The Wall Street Journal reports that during a meeting in the Oval Office last week, Trump told staff he wants a massive tax cut to sell to the public. He told aides it was less important to him that such a plan could add to the federal budget deficit, though that might make it difficult to sell to GOP lawmakers who are wary of such a large tax cut. Trump told his team to get it done in time to release a plan by tomorrow. President Trump is signing executive orders at the most aggressive pace since World War II in an effort to push through his agenda quickly and roll back major Obama administration policies in areas such as energy, the environment, and the military. Trump is expected to have signed 32 executive orders by Friday, as most of his major legislative priorities languish or get debated in Congress. According to a study released today by the nonpartisan Kaiser Family Foundation, the federal government's costs could increase by $2.3 billion in 2018. If Congress and President Trump decide not to fund Obamacare-related payments to health insurers. Trump has threatened to withhold the payments to force Democrats to the negotiating table on a health care bill. In a sign of rising labor tensions in Hollywood, members of the Writers Guild of America have voted overwhelmingly to authorize a strike just a week before the union's contract is set to expire May 1st. Although the vote is largely seen as a negotiating tactic to put pressure on the studios, it moves the union one step closer to a work stoppage that would have widespread repercussions throughout the film and TV industry. The last writers' walkout occurred in 2007. And a caterpillar that munches on plastic bags could hold the key to tackling plastic pollution. Researchers at Cambridge University have discovered that the insects, which eats wax in beehives, can also degrade plastic. Each year, about 80 million tons of the plastic polyethylene, which can take hundreds of years to decompose, are produced around the world. Caterpillars can make holes in a plastic bag in under an hour.
Oh, so the recycling guys then will come by our house and drop off like a little carton of these things, caterpillars.
Yes, we'll see a lot more bugs, less plastic. I don't know.
You take them into your house. You create a little setup on the kitchen counter. And when you come home from shopping from groceries, you just drop your bags in some container and turn the caterpillars loose.
Well, if they turn into beautiful butterflies, it might be worth it.
Fair enough. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Police in Ohio have received a stuffed toy given by a child to a Pennsylvania police officer to help keep him safe. The Cincinnati Inquirer says a stuffed moose called Mr. Moosey has become a traveling protection talisman. Set to police and other first responder agencies around the country, the toy was first given to a cop in eastern Pennsylvania by 5-year-old Mackenzie Brown last year during a traffic stop. The child said she wanted the officer to have it to help keep him safe. He kept it for a while before deciding it should be shared with other law enforcement agencies and fire departments around the country. It's made its way to states like Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New Hampshire. Mr. Moosey has also served alongside members of the Air National Guard and U.S. Marshals. In Cincinnati, Mr. Moosey has been partnered with Officer Eric Gilbert for this week, and the Cincinnati PD will be posting daily updates on its Facebook page. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.